You know, one of the spiritual realities that God brings about when he saves people like you and me, he brings about a new family. It's not just about individuals. It's about God creating a family. A new creation family, you might say. A family that will have the gracious privilege of one day living in the new heavens and the new earth, the new creation, where they will enjoy God and one another in a perfect way. Righteousness will be at home in every way possible for it to be at home. That's what we'll do as the family of God. This family has God as a Father, Heavenly Father, Jesus as an elder brother, and then to make it become real in your heart and mine, so it's not just some theoretical reality, but something that comes from our hearts. The Holy Spirit of adoption takes up residence in us so that we have that internal sense that we are family. We're the family of God. And this family is made up of people like you who have placed your faith in Christ. You're children of God, and that means that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Right now, if you're a believer, if you've placed your faith in Christ, you are brothers and sisters with millions and millions of people who have placed their faith in the same person, Jesus Christ. And that's a reality that will extend throughout all of eternity. It's part of what Paul means in Romans chapter 8 when he says we can never be separated from the love of Christ. Part of the love of Christ is uniting us to himself and to his body, to his family. Now, one of the qualities of love that ought to mark the Christian family is this thing we call hospitality. Romans 12:13 says, pursue or seek to show hospitality. This exhortation to hospitality, as you saw from the context that I read, is an expression of the sincere love that Paul starts this section off with. He says, let your love be sincere without hypocrisy. Let it be genuine. And then in verse 10, Paul says that sincere Christian love among brothers and sisters in Christ requires mutual devotion to one another. And then this thing about outdoing one another in showing respect and honor. And then when we come to our passage, our particular text, when he talks about hospitality, hospitality actually puts legs to this, the idea of showing mutual honor and showing respect, outdoing one another. How do you do that? Well, one concrete way to do that is to pursue hospitality in the family of God. You want to express and have mutual devotion? If you want to work at outdoing one another in honor and showing respect, well, one way you can do that, Paul says, is by pursuing hospitality. Now, I want to just back out a bit more on the context that I didn't read. You know the well-known passage in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore, brothers, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect, the perfect will of God. Well, all these manifestations of love, starting at verse 9, including our passage today of showing hospitality, is part of that perfect, that good and pleasing, perfect will of God for the people of God. For those who are being transformed by the renewing of their minds by the Word and Spirit of God. Hospitality, therefore, is the will of God for your life. It's an expression of biblical love, godly love. It's how godly love can take shape in a certain way in the context of your life and in the life of the family of God. Love moves in different directions, shows up in different ways, and one way it shows up and needs to show up in the body of Christ is in the form of hospitality. Now, hospitality was something that was crucial in the time of the early church. And there are several reasons why I say that. When I say it was crucial, it wasn't something, well, it's okay, I'll consider hospitality. No, it was pretty important when the biblical writers wrote about it and told God's people, hey, pursue hospitality, offer hospitality, and do it without grumbling, as Peter says. It was a big deal, and here are some reasons why. Without Christian hospitality in the time of the New Testament, the spread of the gospel would have been curtailed. And this is why. You had these missionaries, the disciples and so on, who were told to go out here and there and to preach the gospel. And they would travel by foot or donkey or whatever. And in that situation, in that time, there wasn't a Motel 6 on every corner. There wasn't anything like that. And the inns that were available here and there were less desirable to stay in, if you could find one. And then for the average Joe missionary guy, he didn't have the money for that, to put up money to be able to stay there. And so because of that reason, among others, it was important that the family of God make themselves and their homes available for these traveling itinerant preachers and missionaries, so they would have a place to sleep for a day or two and have some food to get refreshed. You know, that's why Jesus encouraged his disciples to depend on Christian hospitality during their mission to spread the gospel. And it's because of this reason that God made a big deal that through the Apostle John to commend a guy by the name of Gaius. You read about him in 3 John. But the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, made a big deal about this guy because he showed biblical hospitality. Well, let me just let you hear the commendation that the Apostle John makes of this guy in an inspired letter of Scripture. Dear friend, speaking of Gaius, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. That's what they would do. If they were shown hospitality, if the church somewhere took them in and fed them and gave them a place to eat, they would report back and say, hey, we found some Christians here. And they took us in, and they took care of us. We went away refreshed, and that would put others, that would enable others to know that, oh, when we come to this place in Ephesus or wherever it was, we would find some brothers and sisters who would show hospitality to us. So they made a big deal about it. They reported it. He says, please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. So they were there. They were being taken care of. They were being fed, given a place to sleep. And Paul, John is saying, that's great, Gaius. You're faithful. You're demonstrating biblical love. Good job. And then he says, pushing him a little further, he says, now I want you to send them on their way in a manner that honors God. Don't be skimpy. Don't just give them the leftovers just because they're missionaries or itinerant preachers. Give them the very best, as if you're giving it to God, and you're not going to give God your junk, right? Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name, I like that, which means for the sake of Christ, the person of Christ, that they went out. And how did they go out? They went out receiving no help from the pagans. And they shouldn't have sought help from the pagans, right? It's the work of God. And the work of God should be supported by the church of God, by the people of God. That was true then, and it's true now. For the things that we do in the name of Jesus, for his glory, the church ought to foot the bill. Shouldn't go out panhandling, not panhandling, but you know, going out looking for funds from those who don't live in the name of Christ, who don't know God. It doesn't make any sense to do that. The church needs to pony up and take out the wallet and pay for whatever they're doing in the name of Christ as far as ministry. And that's what John is saying here. And then he ends this section by saying, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. You get that? Not everyone could go out then or now and be a missionary or serve in ministry, going here and there for the Lord. But you can partner with them, this is what John is saying here, by giving, by sending them out in a way that honors the Lord, providing what they need. When you do that, you partner with them. When you show hospitality, you're working together with them in the cause of Christ. So that's the first reason. It enabled and facilitated the spread of the gospel because these itinerant preachers received housing and food so that they could then be refreshed and then go on from there to the next place. Another reason, it also made the church in the house a reality. This is where the church in the early church in the New Testament primarily met for their Christian meetings of worship and fellowship and prayer and learning. Homes were needed at this time for those purposes of the church. And typically those who had means are the ones that made their homes available. And Paul makes mention of this concept of the house church in Acts in several places, such as in Romans chapter 16. He makes a point of it. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. And then he says, greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. That guy and others were meeting in a house. The church of God met in a house. And they met in lots of houses all around the Mediterranean area. That was a need. And what took place in those houses with God's people was critical to the mission of God. It's not just sending out missionaries to minister the gospel so that people come to know Christ, but then those people needed to have a situation where they could gather with the people of God so that they could worship God, fellowship with one another and grow in their faith. So it facilitated the mission of God in the world at that time, in that context. And there's another reason that was relevant at that time and still is today in various parts of our world, and that's persecution. Persecution would come. If you can read about it, for example, in Hebrews chapter 10. This generation that the book was written to of second generation Jewish Christians, they had suffered some for the Lord, persecuted. And so they were dispersed away from their homes and needed a place to stay, needed food, needed the encouragement, the spiritual encouragement of the body of Christ. You know, when you think about all that and you wander over to Timothy and the qualifications of an elder, it sort of makes sense why that would be one of a number of qualities that an elder needed to meet, to pursue in his or her own life. If the mission of God was, to a large extent, dependent on the church showing hospitality, then the leaders in the church had to show the way, had to set the example, so that the body could see, oh, okay, that's what love looks like in this context. Look at Elder so-and-so opening his home for this worship meeting. Look how they took that missionary in who needed a place to stay. Oh, okay, we need to do the same thing. So the example of the leader inspired the congregation, or had that potential effect. It pointed in the right direction. It inspired. It did something on the inside where they said, yes, this is what we need to do. God's at work. He includes us in the work. And one way we can help is to show our love by expressing it through hospitality. Now that was then, right? I've been talking to you about the first century church, our kin back then spiritually, who were asked to show, called to show, exhorted to pursue. And that's a strong word, by the way. Doesn't say just mosey on over there and do some hospitality. It says pursue it. Go hard after it. Look for it. Don't wait for it to come to you necessarily, but go for it. Look, keep your eyes open. And when hospitality, the need for it shows up, step in. Show it. You've got love that God's given to you. Show it. Well, he's saying the same thing to us today. Things are different. We live in America. I understand all that. But hospitality doesn't go away. It's something that in our context is still needed and still needs to be expressed by the body of Christ. When you think about it, when you sort of strip away and look down, what are we looking at when we look at hospitality? What is it? Well, to begin with, it's an expression of God the Father's love given to us by His Spirit, which was poured out into our hearts, for the purpose of expressing love toward Him by expressing it towards others. By letting that love show and come out and show up in the lives of the people of God. Philip Hughes captures this truth well in something he wrote in his commentary on Hebrews 13. And this is what he says. Give us something to think about. Christian hospitality is a matter of faithfulness and loyalty to that love by which we have been redeemed, and which unites us all who are brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. True hospitality springs from the limitless fountain of the divine love manifested to us while we were still estranged sinners. We were all, right, estranged sinners until God demonstrated hospitality to you. He sent his Son into this world who became one like us. He walked among men. He got close to men and women. And throughout his entire life, he was resolute and committed to bringing glory to his Father, loving his Father and loving sinners by living a righteous life, then going to the cross, shouldering our sins, and then doing what was required so that you and I could be forgiven. He died, he suffered, and then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And when you place your faith in Christ, as I said earlier today, God declared you forgiven and righteous in his sight. But not only that, that's the courtroom. But then after that, God opens up the living room door and says, come on in. You are now my family. I bestow on you the rights and privileges of the sons of God. You're my family. Welcome home, and the best is yet to come. That love is what God is calling you then to turn out and demonstrate to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Look around. Any Christian you're sitting around today, by the grace of God, is someone that is there and in your life because of God. Because of his love, your family, your brothers and sisters. And he's saying, I want you to develop that family. And one thing that ought to begin to show up and be a part of life in the Christian community is that of hospitality. Hospitality is one vital expression of that love of God given to us and of the reality that we are family in Christ. We are family, right? We are. To show hospitality, to take it a little further, means to be an outreaching person who purposely, intentionally looks for ways to make people new to you feel welcome and a part of the family of God, which many times involves something tangible to meet needs, i.e., the missionaries, needing a home to stay in, Christians needing a home to worship in so that they could grow and change. So it means something tangible. Now, what are some examples? What are some of the ways that the body of Christ at Redeemer can give expression to the love you have in the form of hospitality? What are some of the ways? Now you're probably sitting there, Bill, is that a rhetorical question? Well, no. I want to get you engaged in this today. So tell me, give me some examples if you would, and I'll work with them, okay? But what are some examples? How can we take what he's saying here in the 21st century, here in Moore Duncan, South Carolina, with this group of people, with what you know about us, how can we, and not that any, not, and it's not that you're not doing this, so I see it going on. And if you are demonstrating, pursuing, and living out hospitality, great! Don't stop! Keep going! But I think we could stand to grow in this as a body. I've been pastor here since the very, very beginning, since 1995, starting the church by the grace of God, and here we are in 2019. Oh, I'm getting older. But those of you who have some courage right now, what do you think? Help me today.
Family opens their home for Bible study and fellowship.
Okay, a family opens their home for Bible study and fellowship. Exactly, that's a great one. Now, we can meet here, obviously, and we do. We're doing it right now. We'll do it on Saturday morning. Every once in a while, Paul opens up his home. By the way, Brother Paul opened up his home last night for the elders and deacons and their wives to gather for dinner. It's a wonderful time. Paul, thank you. Thank you very much. That was a blessing, and we need more of that. That's good. And opening one's home for God's people, others to come, to make God the center of attention in His Word, and we talk about, think about, seek to apply what God, our Father, is telling us about how we should conduct ourselves as God's family. So that, thank you, Jay. What else? I know you're not used to this, but that's okay. Millen.
Just today, coordinated, and any adult Christian is invited lunch at Fasano's at Pelham 14. Just let me know for seating purposes, but just trying to coordinate that to get, you know, singles and adult Christians to.
Okay. Adult singles and stuff. That's, you know, you go home and you're by yourself. I don't do that. Well, I was almost by myself this past week when my wife was away. Cameron and I were, but we were, you know, going by each other. He was going to work. He was doing it. I was doing my thing. But it was a different place without Heather around. But just take the typical single person who, you know, goes off to work and then has the prospect of going home to be by himself. There's a need there, whether they know it or not. And some of them do know it. They're lonely. But there's an opportunity there for the body to reach out and to apply the family of God reality to them so that they're not so lonely and so that we can be a part of their growth and they can be a part of ours as we relate to each other. What else? Bringing food to a family that needs it. Right. 2-3 weeks ago now, Caitlin Kitts was in a serious car accident on her way back to school on a rainy Friday night. And the Lord graciously saved her life. But she did suffer severe damage on the left leg, and they had to go in and put a lot of parts and metal stuff in there to hold things together so that things can heal and get strong from her hip to her shin, and so on. And so that obviously caused great upset in the family. I mean, they had to go down there to Charleston, and kids were in school, work has to, you got to go to work and all that kind of stuff. And so they called out for help. We need food! My teenage boy needs some food! Ramen noodles won't do! I mean, it has done for 2 or 3 days, but help! And, you know, I think we came to the rescue. Okay, do you still need more? Okay. Things like that. Those are all opportunities that God gives this particular family because they are here. And they're our family. And so when needs genuinely show up, we can step in. We can choose to express the love that God has given to us to show hospitality, to come in and meet needs and, you know, help out in a lot of different ways. When a simple meal is huge. Anybody else have something to say? Dave.
Provide home, extra car, or whatever resources for missionaries that are on furlough.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
And you just get on with, World Witness or whatever, Mission of the World, all those guys, they're more than open to just call them up and say, hey, put me on a list.
Right. And speaking about missionaries and all that, March the 3rd, is it the 3rd? 1st? The first Sunday in March, we're going to have our fellowship meal is going to be an international meal, international dinner. And we're going to emphasize missions that Sunday. So be planning for that. All right? Another opportunity that shows up fairly regularly is how we welcome those who are visiting with us. I mean, truly, we don't know them, right? Typically, someone might. They come by invitation, but the vast majority don't know that person's actually a stranger. And so, but yet they might be a part of the family of God, or they might not be. But there is an opportunity to make sure that you get to know somebody that day. You reach out your hand and say, "Hey, welcome to Redeemer. We're great to have you. Welcome." And it shouldn't just be the greeters. You guys do a great job. Thank you. Thank you for those of you who organize that and then come each day. And I would encourage you, that's a good thing that you're doing. You're the first face people see when they come in. Hi! So make sure you smile and be pleasant. Make sure that their needs are tended to, where the nursery is, and things like that, where the bathrooms are. But keep doing your job. Thank you for doing it. Excel still more. But beyond that, everyone's a greeter. Not just people that stand at the door, but all of us should be greeters in one way or another. Making sure that those who come here, who are here for the first time, who are new, are welcomed, and they have the sense, hey, this is the family of God. Philip Hughes, again, in his commentary, says, hospitality must be spontaneous, unforced, free from reluctance. That's the ideal. Christians should reach out in love to each other and should practice it ungrudgingly. Now, Peter actually says that in 1 Peter 4:9. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Why do you think he would have to say that? Because there was a temptation for Christians in certain situations with the prospect of hospitality. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't have the time. I don't have the, whatever. You know, you can just complain for 1,000 different reasons. The temptation lurks. We, you know, when we do grumble and complain at the opportunity to show love in this way, we give expression to our fallen condition. That's why it's still an issue. It may indicate some misaligned priorities. It expresses the reality of a busy life. I know you all have them. And probably busy doing some very legitimate things. And sometimes there are people that are actually doing it and they're tired. Do I have to continue doing it? Well, since we don't have the freedom or right to ignore the exhortation to pursue hospitality, we just don't have God to say, we don't have the right to say, God, I'm not going to do this one. We can't do that, right? Right? We can't do that. He's the Lord. Whatever he says goes. Now, he's patient with us and wants us to move toward the norm, but nevertheless, we can't skirt that responsibility. And we can't overlook that little, ending of 1 Peter 4:9 without complaining. So, how do we get there? What do we need to remember? What do we need to do in order to make this a living reality in the ways that we can? Not everyone's going to show it in the same way. Well, number one, remember who you are. That's half the battle. Who are you? Who am I? Your family of God. God is your father. Jesus is your elder brother. The spirit of adoption dwells within you. You're part of the family of God. That's who you are. And that family, there are needs. Every family has them, right? Your physical families have needs. And we typically tend to those needs. Hospitality is shown in our physical families in one way or another. God is wanting us to remember, though, the spiritual reality that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Another thing, plan how you might be able to include hospitality in what you already do. I'm not saying that the things that you're doing that you're busy with aren't legit. They very well may be. Well, then how can we integrate hospitality in what you already do so that you can do what you have to do and include hospitality in it? And you don't have to do it by yourself. We're a family. So team up. Team up. Shoulder up with somebody else and say, hey, I just heard about something. Would you join me and let's pool our forces and our time and let's go tackle that. That's a good thing. And another thing to remember, because I want to make sure that we don't turn inward. We have an outward face. But what a face to show the world. The face of loving hospitality. That we really are trying to take care of each other in appropriate ways, in relevant ways. What did Jesus say in John 13? By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Hospitality is one way. And as I said earlier in the sermon, leadership needs to lead the way in this. I can't be up here telling you something that God says, Bill, elders, lead the way in this. In the ways that you can. Lead the way, set an example, make it happen. Last week, I set forth the initiative for the church in 2019 to be faithful in prayer. This week, I'm going to add the second initiative to pursue hospitality. So I'm asking you to join together, leaders, members alike, to join forces with God helping us to pursue faithfulness in prayer and pursuing hospitality. Two areas of the Christian life that I think we need to grow in, and it would be good for us to grow in as the family of God. The elders will be meeting here in the near future, and we're going to talk about practical suggestions that we can offer you to encourage both these initiatives in becoming a reality more and more here at Redeemer Church. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us and welcoming us into your family of faith. It's all of grace that we wound up in your family. We're grateful for it. And Father, you're wanting us to grow and mature and to be all that we can be in Christ. You know we fall short. We fall flat on our faces at times. But you're a God of grace and forgiveness. And your exhortations remain. You have exhorted us to be faithful in prayer. You've exhorted us in your word to pursue hospitality. Would you help us, our God, as a church, as individuals, as fathers, as mothers, as teenagers, as children, as kids, as a church family, to work together to grow this year in these particular areas? Would you help us to be faithful to you? You have loved us with an everlasting love, a love that's rescued us for eternity. May we respond to that love by showing love to one another and toward you. Toward you through prayer, toward others by showing hospitality. Help us to that end, we pray, for your glory and for this church's maturity. And for our good, this we pray. In Christ's name, amen.